The first reading today is from the book of Micah, chapter 6. It's found on page 850 in your Bibles. Hear what the Lord says. Rise, plead your case before the mountains, and let the hills hear your voice. Hear, you mountains, the controversy of the Lord, and you enduring foundations of the earth. For the Lord has a controversy with his people, and he will contend with Israel. O my people, what have I done to you? In what way have I wearied you? Answer me. For I brought you up from the land of Egypt and redeemed you from the house of slavery. And I set before you Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. O my people, remember now what King Balak of Moab devised, what Balaam, son of Beor, answered him, and what happened from Shittim to Gilgal, that you may know the saving acts of the Lord. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before God on high? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams and 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has told you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? But to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God. The second reading is found on page 880. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to speak and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. The word of the Lord.
Thank you, Therese. Could I have that Bible? That'd be okay. Thank you. It wasn't until I married a Catholic woman that I realized it wasn't pronounced beatitudes. It sounds like something you can dance to that way. The beatitudes. Jamming with a beat. I know better now. Product of our Sunday school. Don't you parents feel better now? No. The Beatitudes. No, the Beatitudes. And we're going to get all beatitudinal today. We've already started in acknowledging our blessings in our life. And they are myriad. They are myriad. I've got two sermons I want to preach today, and they're fighting it out in my brain right now to see which one's going to come out. Because, don't do two. Thank you, O wise one. I've been told to limit myself to one sermon this morning. There's a roast in the oven. It's your birthday. You got things to do. God bless you. You are a blessing to me, Bonnie Hobde. Okay. It's hard to pick because I had a sermon in my head and in my heart. And then events this week put something even stronger in my heart. And it all comes down to blessing. And it all comes down to recognizing how blessed we are, even at times when you wouldn't automatically expect to feel it. What does the Lord require of you indeed? What does the Lord require of us? Just the simplest thing. Just the simplest things are required of us. We're to love each other. We're to embrace the cause of justice. And we're supposed to walk humbly with God. Humbly with God. I don't know about you, but I've been humbled many times in my walk with God. And it doesn't always feel like that is doing God's will, but it is. It is to be humbled and not think too highly of ourselves. It gets us that much closer to God. Now, Jesus was about as close to God as we could get. I'm combining the two sermons, okay? Thank you. I'm going to compress. We'll be out of here on time. When Jesus came, there was a lot of glory of God stuff going on. There's this big, beautiful temple, gold-plated, shiny, priests all dressed in flowing robes, all sorts of vestments and gold things up on the altar and different traditions and rituals that they went through. And those things were really good, because if you think about it, they preserved the faith. So when Jesus spoke, people had some kind of basis to listen to him. But when Jesus spoke, he spoke more directly about a relationship with God. I mean, as direct as you can get in relationship with God. And this wasn't brand new. The prophets had spoken like this often. Jeremiah had said the time was going to come where we wouldn't have to instruct each other, but God's law would be written on our hearts. And that's this idea of being directly connected with God and doing God's will. Humbly doing God's will. So when Jesus gets the crowds together up on the mountain and sits down to teach them, he starts at what was to them a very shocking point. You see, people back then believed that prosperity was the surest sign of blessing. You know, if things were rolling along really good for you, then obviously God was smiling on you and you were blessed. And that's fine, because to an extent that's true. God blesses us in many ways, but what if you're a person who's been left out of prosperity? Does that mean God is not smiling on you? Does that mean you've done something wrong? If you're sick, is God mad? If you're poor, if you're hungry, if you live in an occupied country, if your children have been taken away from you, if any number of things, is God mad at you? Is there something wrong with you? Well, these people have been led to think yes. And so they come gravitating to Jesus to hear what he's going to say, to hear him preach. These people who have to bite their tongue if there's a Roman soldier around because they don't need any trouble. These people who are losing their farmland because they can't afford their taxes. These people who put their kids to bed hungry at night. People who are broken. And the first thing he says to them is, blessed are the poor in spirit, or blessed are the broken in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Everyone's out there thinking, I don't have faith, I'm lost, I can't hear God, I'm so busted up inside that I don't know what's going on anymore in my heart and soul. Those people who are gathered there thinking that way. Life has overwhelmed me. And I can't hear God. Broken spirits. And Jesus says, hey you, you're blessed. God's got an eye on you and God loves you. You are blessed, broken in spirit. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The broken spirit, the one who is lost, is blessed because God can work with that. God can work with us best when we're at our lowest low, when we don't reach in and say, here, let me help. Can you imagine going to your mechanic, have that transmission replaced, and leaning in over his shoulder and say, here, let me get that, let me hold that. I'll take care of that part there, okay? No. God works best with us sometimes when we're at our lowest, most confounded. He goes on and says, blessed are those who mourn. Now, the infant mortality rate in Israel at this time was atrociously high. You fell and broke your arm as an adult, and if an infection set in, goodbye. Medicine was not what it is now. Just about everybody mourned somebody. And Jesus elsewhere had to actually call people's attention to it. There was some sort of terrible tragedy that is not preserved, but it involved the collapsing of a tower onto some people, onto some pilgrims. And he said to them at this other point, do you think they were being judged by God because they were crushed in an accident? And here he says, just because you mourn, just because someone died, does not mean God's turned his back on you. It means if you are mourning, you are on sacred ground. You are on sacred ground. God mourns too. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. There is no more sacred place than in the place of death. And I know most of you, almost all of us, have been through it. And you know what I'm talking about. You know those moments when everything is suddenly still and crystal clear. And you know it in your bones that you are not alone. You know it in your heart and soul that your loved one somehow, impossibly, is okay. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. And what are the meek? The meek are people who have power and don't use it, who hold back. Who hold back. And in an occupied country, with soldiers on every corner, and rules that must be followed, there are a whole lot of people, I am sure, who had to hold back, who had to shrink down, who had to avert eyes and skirt certain areas of town, who had to be meek. And he's reversing it. He's saying, those of you who are scared and holding back, who are not able to live in your full power right now, times are changing. And soon you will be. And soon you will be. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. And I know we've all had times when we've been in situations when we are just praying that somebody will do the right thing. You know, that whole bit was going on in Korea where the North was getting so belligerent and the South and the United States were doing their military maneuvers, or in Tunisia when people are taking to the streets, or in Egypt when people have taken to the streets, or the race riots of the 60s, or any number of other things. You look and you see these things happening and you see disorder and chaos growing and growing and building, and you just pray. For people to do the right thing. Those who hunger and thirst for righteousness will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Have you ever had an opportunity to really let someone have it with both barrels, but held back just for a second, and then come to learn more of the situation and think, man, I'm glad I didn't say anything. The instinct for mercy is a valuable instinct. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. I'm not pure in heart. Anyone here pure in heart? Got any pure in hearters here? You're humble, that's good. But I think most of us call someone to mind when we think of pure in heart. And in truth, I think of the pure in heart people that I've known, and I think they did see God because they seemed to be intimately acquainted. People who talk about God, talk about talking to God like God was sitting in his kitchen chair across the table. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Those are the people who do the right thing. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. There's value in being persecuted for the right thing. Just ask Dr. King. Just ask any number of people who are willing to go as far as they have to go for the right thing. Because they gain attention, they gain admiration, and they gain an ear and an eye to the truth that they carry. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. The prophets is such a high honoring term, because the prophets, the books of the prophets, are a major part of the scripture that they refer to all the time. If you are being put in the company of the prophets by your rabbi, that is such a place of high honor. And to get there by being dishonored, by being spit on, by being sneered at, because you have stuck to your faith. So Jesus turns everything on its ear and shows everyone, instead of pageantry and huge ceilings, I like you. I don't mean anything by that. It's a beautiful place. But instead of getting trapped in all of the pageantry and ritual, Jesus makes it constant application. And he holds up people's lives to themselves and starts pulling out places where they are blessed and places where they are doing God's will already and places where they are prophets already and places where they are walking with God and don't even realize it. It's a wonderful thing that Jesus has done for us. Sermon number 2. I had the opportunity this week to spend some time at a tiny little church in the middle of nowhere with a tiny congregation as they came together to mourn the tragic suicide of one of their own. And I drove up to this tiny little church when I found it in a town that has no industry, not knowing what to expect, because there's nothing more complicated, I think, than the grief that you feel after such a death. And I went in and I met lots of people. And I was astounded at how beatitudinal they were. Just astounded. It was such a powerful experience. Because the deceased was plagued by many demons and had been for many, many years. And the people in that church, they were her friends. And they talked openly about bipolar disorder and depression. And so openly did they accept her and love her as she struggled mightily with torments, just horrible, horrible torments. They loved her deeply and completely, and they mourned her passing profoundly. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. And they didn't hold back their sadness. They checked in with each other. As I watched them, they would check in with each other. I got to sit with one woman. I saw her sitting in the back of the church, leaning over a pew and just leaning there. And I went back and I just kind of looked at her. We had not met before that evening. And she looked up at me and she said, "This is where she used to sit." And so I sat with her for a while. And she told me stories. She told me stories of struggle to keep her friend alive, of hours spent talking to her and talking to her and listening and listening and praying so hard. And she spoke of knowing she was gone before she was gone. Others spoke the same way. But they didn't love any less. They didn't love any less. If anything, they loved more. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. They opened their hearts to someone who was bound to snap at them, who was bound to burst into tears at inconvenient times, who was bound ultimately to break their hearts. And their response was to open their hearts even wider and their minds even wider and embrace this person, demons and all. So I went to this church, this little church, hoping that in some way I might be a comfort to these people. And instead, I had the Beatitudes preached to me by every last one of them. This is a life of faith. This is a life of loving kindness and doing justice. This is a life of walking humbly with God that I witnessed in this place of sheer heartbreak and sheer tenderness and sheer faith and a powerful love that just, I thought I could sense the walls of that sanctuary just blowing out with the love, just swelling, and the warmth in that cold, cold building was astounding, astounding, as they preached the Beatitudes to me. Hungering and thirsting for righteousness, being meek and merciful, letting our hearts break and mourn, recognizing our own brokenness. This is what it is to humbly walk with our God. God doesn't want us to clear coat our lives. God doesn't want us to sterilize our living. God doesn't want us to pretend everything is wonderful when everything is crappy. God wants us to live and feel and hurt and love anyways and continue to grow and continue to hang on and help another when we're able to and have strength to. God wants us to live our lives and see that they are blessed even when we are hurt. This is the message of the Beatitudes. This is the message that was so important that Jesus called everyone aside, pulled them in, sat them down. This is the message. Look, you, God is with you, no matter what anybody else says. Look, you, God loves you, no matter how forlorn you feel. Look, you, God wants you to be the same way.